It's 15 minutes past the hour. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew Mariani today, taking your calls at 888-914-9149. By the way, I just want to point out a couple things. First off, Drew will be back a week from Monday, which is when we'll have the live chaplets again. And thank you so much for all your prayers and intentions during this period of time as well. But we will have the live chaplet back on a week from Monday when Drew returns to the show. And also, if you're not aware of this, you can contact the contact the show through their Twitter account at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. And they are watching that that Twitter account pretty carefully to make sure that they are getting your intentions and hearing your feedback. And it's a great way to stay in touch with what's going on with the Drew Mariani Show. And, of course, Relevant Radio, at Relevant Radio. They have their own Twitter account as well. And you can do the same thing with at Relevant Radio. You should be following both of those accounts. And that way you can always stay tied into what's going on here at the Drew Mariani Show and Relevant Radio. Now, usually in the post-chaplet period, when I'm guest hosting, Jake and I like to talk a little bit about gospel reflections. Today, however, we're going to do something a little different because there's a story that came out today that's just terrible. It's just a horrible story. The Catholic News Agency is reporting that a British judge has authorized doctors to perform an abortion on a pregnant Catholic woman with developmental disabilities and a mood disorder despite the objections of the woman herself and her mother. She's 22 weeks pregnant, which is just about at the stage of viability. And both the woman and her mother want the baby. The woman's mother is committed to raising the baby herself. But because the woman is under the care of the NHS Trust, which is part of the UK's National Health Service, the state has the agency, I guess you could call it, a sort of a power of attorney. They have the authority to direct the woman's care, regardless of what the woman's wishes are. And Jake, I want to talk this over with Jake because I just like talking with Jake in this particular post-chaplet period. And I think Jake's got some really smart things to say, especially about this thing. I mean, I was horrified when I saw this today. Yeah. I saw it on Twitter. It's all over Catholic Twitter. And for very good reason. I'm just surprised it's not all over every other Twitter as well.
Well, it should be. It really should be. I'm with you, Ed. This is absolutely heartbreaking. And in fact, Ed, as we speak, I am going to be posting the story on Drew Mariani's Facebook page. So if you go to the facebook.com/Drew Mariani Show, you can check out the story for yourself and see what we're discussing. But you're right, Ed. I mean, the fact that this mother, who's 22 weeks pregnant, who wants to have her baby, and she's being forced by the state to abort her baby. Well, that to me, that completely negates the whole idea of choice, right? For people who say that they're pro-choice. No, actually, it's about being pro-abortion. I'm just going to get right to the chase there. I mean,
yes.
I'm tired of this argument, you know, and I'm frustrated about this. I am tired of people saying that, oh, it's about your body, your choice. Well, what about this woman? Why does this woman not have a choice? She wants to have her child. She wants to choose life. She's being forced to abort her baby? No.
At 22 weeks.
You're either pro-life or pro-death. And I'm sorry, we have to take this seriously. And I think all of us in the pro-life movement should be speaking out against this travesty. And we should be posting this on our social media accounts and proclaiming this hypocrisy. Because look at, like, the pro-life movement truly stands for choice. Choice for life, you know, choice to give life, you know, and I honestly just, I look at so many people in the pro-life movement, and Ed, we can circle back to this story. I have to get this out there that I know Brian Gibson, who's on our program often on Relevant Radio. Brian works for in the pro-life movement for pregnancy resource centers, and he stands outside of Planned Parenthoods, and all he does day in after day is, you know, he offers these women who are walking into a Planned Parenthood thinking that they don't have a choice other than to abort their child. He goes up to them and says, hey, you don't have to do this. There's other choices. You know, you can, if you're stuck in poverty right now, if you're stuck in a difficult situation, we can get you out of it. We can give you an alternative. We can help your baby. We can give you the resources you need. And there was one woman in particular that this man, Brian Gibson, had met who He was reaching out to this woman, but an employee basically from Planned Parenthood just comes running outside the clinic, grabs this woman by the arm, and just drags her inside the clinic to have an abortion. And after this poor woman had the abortion, well, she's still stuck in poverty. She's still stuck in her dire situation. And I think we just have to make that point that, you know, the pro-abortion movement is not about choice. It's not about other alternatives. It's about death. And I think that this story just proves that fact.
And Jake, I couldn't agree with you more, especially because the terms of this are so stark. I mean, I'm going to quote from Catholic News Agency's report here, what the judge said. Justice Natalie Levin is her name. This is from today, the Court of Protection. This is, of course, in the UK, so it was, you know, several hours ago. But this is what she said. I am acutely conscious of the fact that for the state to order a woman to have a termination where it appears that she doesn't want it is an immense intrusion. But I have to operate in her best interest, not on society's views of termination. I grant you that a woman who's developmentally diminished, I guess is a good way of putting this. They're saying that her... her mental capacity is a grade school age child, which, you know, in the UK would be anywhere from, you know, 6 years old to, say, 12 years old. And it is difficult to see, you know, see where that would be somebody who would have the capacity to make decisions for themselves. But the woman's mother is there.
Right.
Why is the state preceding the woman's mother in the ability to make decisions, personal decisions about her care? And this reminds me of other situations in the UK where we've seen this before. Now, in the previous context of this, Jake, you had children who had grave illnesses who doctors said were not going to benefit from any more treatment, who were going to die and who should be removed from life support and allowed to die. And the parents were objecting. So there was two different cases over the last year or two. Alfie Evans was one of them, yes. This is not somebody who's dying. This is not somebody whose death is... Who we're talking about dignity in death, which I think has its own problems as an argument. We're talking about somebody who is pregnant, whose life is not endangered by this pregnancy. And the issue in here, if you read this down the road, this is the judge's thought process on this. I think the woman would suffer greater trauma from having a baby removed from her care, because at that stage it would be a real baby. She later clarified that she said that the pregnancy was real to the woman, but doesn't have a baby outside her body she can touch, so it's not all that real. This is an absurd construct in pursuit of basically a rationalization to push this situation forward to an abortion that the woman doesn't want, that the woman's mother doesn't want. I mean, this is the woman's mother is looking at the death of her grandchild at the hands of the state simply because they won't allow her the ability to make a decision for her own daughter. I mean, this to me is a horror show.
It's scary.
It's very scary. And this is the same type of thing that you can see with euthanasia. We talk about this a lot in the context of euthanasia. Euthanasia starts off as a choice and ends up as an obligation. And abortion starts off as a choice and then it becomes imposed as an obligation. And this is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about a culture of death, where death is more valued than life. And in this particular case, it's absolutely horrid. And yet I don't know that there's going to be a lot they can do about this. This baby's at 22 weeks. In another week or so, it would probably hit the limit of, it probably hit the outer envelope of viability outside the womb. And yet they're going to abort the baby. I mean, to me, it's just stunning. If you've got thoughts on this, we've got a few minutes here. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Dr. Bob in Illinois, welcome to the show.
Hi there, you're doing a great job. I'm actually driving from Chicago to the Elevate conference, so I'm listening to you on the app.
That's awesome.
But I wanted to point out that I'm currently taking a program in bioethics, And actually, this is more of a situation where this poor woman, you know, as you pointed out, her agency. She lost her agency. She lost her ability to make her own decisions. And in medical ethics, they would talk about autonomy, her being granted the benefit of her own autonomy to make her own decisions.
Right.
And unfortunately, this is what happens when the state takes over responsibility for health care. I'm not talking about being a guardian. I'm talking about paying for things. And so what they're really looking at here is the fungibility of life. How much is that life going to cost? Society, how much is society going to get back from that child's life? And it's a decision that we as Catholics, you know, it's made for us. We, you know, we believe in the sanctity of life. And unfortunately, the state, as cold as it is, it looks at how much is life going to cost. So that's my comment.
Well, Dr. Bob, thank you very much for that call. And I think you hit the nail right on the head. We're talking about agency. And yes, we are talking about in that context, we are talking about the impact of having the state be the provider of all health care in a system, right? In any other context, and this is the same thing was true with the earlier cases that I mentioned, right? The baby Alfie situation and others that were similarly situated, is that because the state is the payer for all health care, they end up being the guardian ad litem, I guess we could call it in terms of an analogy for the U.S. status, over and above the parents, over and above this woman's parent, for instance, in this particular case, because it's the NHS that is in charge of the health care of this person. And so it necessarily becomes, I would say, a financial calculation. Everything becomes a financial calculation. This is when we talk about the utilitarian view of life, as opposed to the sacramental view of life. This is precisely what we're talking about. We're talking about reducing this to dollars and cents, reducing life to convenience, not a sacrament, not a sacred, not a sacred gift from God, but how much is it going to cost us? What's the impact? What's the carbon footprint? there's all sorts of different ways that you can put this into a utilitarian sense. And that's exactly what's happening right here, is that there's absolutely no consideration that this baby has a value in and of itself that is apart from whatever the medical costs are going to be, whatever trauma it might induce with the mother, who at this point would likely be a lot more traumatized by an invasive surgical abortion than she would be by a birth. I mean, this isn't a morning after pill situation at 22 weeks. This is an invasive surgical abortion that would have to be done, and the woman doesn't want it. It would be, I guess you could even say, Jake, to some extent, a form of rape. To force that on a woman who clearly doesn't want it, whose family doesn't want it. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that this is horrible, and yet the only people who are talking about this is Catholic Twitter.
And I think that we need to see this as a wake-up call, Ed, and we need to see this as a potential of things to come if we as an American society embrace socialism, right? Because I think socialism would draw us into these types of situations, unless I'm wrong.
Well, no, I don't think you're wrong at all. I think you're exactly correct. And look, I mean, I think that there's a lot of things that need to be answered in this situation, such as how this woman ended up pregnant in the first place. I mean, if she's developmentally disabled and she's got the wherewithal of a grade school age child, then there should be some accountability about how this pregnancy took place in the first, you know, to start with.
Right.
But that's not part of this decision. What should be part of this decision is the desire of the woman to have the child, the desire of the woman's family to have the child, and who has agency over this particular woman. Is it the woman herself? In this case, you can argue no, because she's got a developmental disability problem, but the woman's mother then should be the one who's looking out for her best interest, not the state. And unless there's some overriding concern about whether the mother has the wherewithal to make those types of decisions, and so far I don't see any reporting on that, this is a grotesque overstep by the National Health Service in the UK and by the legal system in the UK, and I certainly pray that saner minds prevail on this one. Jake, thanks so much for being part of this discussion. Ed. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew Mariani. We'll be right back.